I tell you, I've been working on this sermon for a while. It's something that's looming in my mind, and I think it's appropriate in our study as we go through the book of John. By the way, I want you to understand that the book of John really gives us an intimate look at what Jesus did and the words that he spoke, the analogies that he used to bring life into us. And so today, I've actually titled the sermon, and I don't rarely actually do that. Normally Travis and I come up with that after. I'm going to bell on this. Is that okay? Which mic is connected to the live stream? Somebody yell it out because I can't see you. Okay. All right. That works. All right. I get to choose. I'm going to go with my red if I can find it. Probably not needed. All right. Here it is. Today we're going to talk about I hear voices. Anybody else ever have a lot of different voices echoing in your mind sometimes? We call them thoughts, all right? But they can be influenced by your own thoughts. It can be your own voice. It can be somebody else's voice. How many of you have ever had what somebody else has said echo through your mind, right? And it just looms there. It can be the enemy's voice whispering in your ear, trying to lead you astray. It can be God's voice trying to whisper into your life the things that you need in order to step in the directions you need to go, or to give you the peace that you need to get through what you're facing. Whatever it is, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear voices. Anybody say me too to that? All right, now, in the world, you know, they may say, well, they're crazy, but they do too. I mean, we all have battles every single day with our thoughts. Matter of fact, in James, when the Bible's telling us where sin comes from, the Bible says it comes from our own desires, right? Where do your desires begin? In your thoughts. Remember, we've said it this way many times. If you've never heard it, get it in your mind. Get it in your practice. Because if you can capture your thoughts, you can control the rest most times. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, that God wants to change you into a new creation by changing the way you think, by the renewing of your mind. It's not just, I want your mind to think different. It's, I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to bring good thoughts in. I'm going to bring peace in. I'm going to usher love in when your mind is in chaos. I think a lot of people are doubting their faith today because in their minds they're at war and they believe that because they have Christ, they shouldn't have that. And that's not true. You still have flesh, right? We still have enemy that wants to destroy our lives. And so you say, I feel like I'm going crazy. Hey, I hear voices too. And the Bible says that Jesus knew that. And I think he really meant that when he stepped into this passage. Matter of fact, we're going to hear the verse that maybe you've heard before. My sheep hear my voice and they recognize it. My sheep hear my voice and they know it. My sheep hear my voice and they listen. There's three things that gives us in this passage and we're gonna look at it. And the truth is it's not about how many voices you're hearing, it's which voice are you obeying. And here's what we say. My thoughts produce my feelings produce my actions. So if I think about it enough, I develop an emotional attachment to my thoughts. Anybody understand that? All right, how many of you get scared when you're at places alone? Anybody not like to be alone in the place today? All right, I've said this before when we did our message just a few weeks ago on how I'm scared in dark places. How many of you don't like to be confined? We call it claustrophobic. All right, like if I get in a crowd and the crowd closes in on me, I cannot breathe. You know, the thing is, hey, we can get in places to where all of a sudden I'm thinking everybody's too close or it's too hot or this is happening. And now I'm starting to get emotional about it and anxiety kicks in, stress kicks in, different things start taking place. All right. And then as I get that attachment to that, I start acting on it. I'm stressed. So if you're in a crowd that's pushing against you and you're stressed, what do you normally start doing? I mean, naturally, you start trying to expand yourself. You start trying to say things like, hey, it's too crowded, or hey, I'm uncomfortable. My daughter's that way. She's got these little princess dresses, and there's this one that's way too small for her, but she won't give up on it, all right? She puts it on anyway, and you know, we put it on through liposuction. We cut it off with the jaws of life. I mean, this thing is like way too small for my three-year-old, but she has to wear it. And the other day, she got it on, and we were trying to get it out. She wanted to take it down, and it needed to come up, and she just started panicking. And Jordan said, when she feels trapped, she gets scared, and she gets anxious. I'm going to be honest with you. I think we're in that situation a lot when it comes to the world that we live in. I mean, I've heard so many people over the past couple of weeks talk about the election. So many people, I've been one of those that had that conversation. And a lot of people, if we're not careful, we start looking at what's going on around us and our thoughts start saying there's no hope, but there is hope. Right? Isn't that what Christmas season's all about? Is Jesus came to give us hope. People are living very anxious lives. I have a problem with that. And if I'm not focused on Christ, if I'm not letting him and his voice speak to the things I think, then I will lose focus and I'll lose my peace. And so today we're going to talk about listening to these voices. So look at how Jesus explains this in John chapter number 10, verse number 1. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know whose voice this is. Can I break that down for you before you just start thinking, okay, what sheep have to do with it? All right, number one, this was a huge enterprise back in this day. I mean, being a shepherd and having sheep, this was a main business of the day. Matter of fact, if you really study into it, I mean, there's a lot that went in to taking care of the sheep, but when it came to the atonement for your sin, you had to have a well taken care of sheep. And so in the world that was existing then, you would call sheep and cattle Wall Street. This was where they put their investments. This is where their money was. And so Jesus is saying, and I want you to understand that today. Please write that in your note. God is declaring value in you. Hey, you're a valuable possession. And so God gave a shepherd, and the shepherd had an important job. And so I love how he said, the shepherd comes through the gate, the gatekeeper opens it. The gatekeeper represents the Father. And it's talking about how God wants to invite you in, but the only way to get into salvation, the only way to get in is through the gate. And Jesus declares in a verse later that he is the gate. I am that way. And the only way, anybody that's coming in another way, is a thief and a robber. I think it's important for us to stop, especially in our day and time, and to start talking about this gate. And I want to talk about, in talking about Jesus being the gate, that you got to recognize that there is a spirit of what we call Antichrist. All right, it's kind of in the name. Antichrist meaning there's an evilness that's at work to destroy the name of Jesus Christ and what he stands for. And that evilness has been at work for a long, long time. Matter of fact, you see in physical form, one of the first examples of Antichrist is when Pharaoh wanted to destroy all the babies in Egypt because there was a deliverer coming. He knew that the Egyptians were strong. Remember the conversation in Exodus? They started looking around and they said, while the Jews are outnumbering us, the Israelites, they're outnumbering us. And if they realize how strong they are, they'll conquer us. That's their mindset. We've done a whole message on this. I want to pause and say this to you. You need to recognize how powerful you are. That's a little bit odd. We planned it. No, not at all. All right, hey, everything good? We good to go? All right, everybody, nobody got electrocuted up there or anything? Y'all got all the buttons? Yeah, all right, okay, good deal. You need to recognize how powerful you are in Christ, and the enemy does recognize, and the enemy knows that so much that it wants to keep you in slavery. And so that spirit of Antichrist is working to keep the minds of believers away from the power of the Holy Spirit and what God can do in their lives. And so just like in Egypt, they formed this mindset of we're gonna increase their workload. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know what Satan's saying today? It's not different. In Ecclesiastes, it says everything that's been done is happening now has been done before. And I want you to understand this. Satan has not changed this tactic. He knows that if he can keep you stressed, if he can keep you worried, if he can keep you afraid, if he can keep you bogged down with burden, then you'll stay under his control and influence, and you won't realize how powerful you are to come against his kingdom. And Pharaoh said, hey, if we don't kill all these babies, if we don't take out all the men, which by the way, can we give a shout out to the importance of being a godly man in the place today? All right, can I tell you, two times abortion is found in the Bible. All right, it is found when they come after the babies and they want to abort all of them, but it's post-abortion, right? So after they're born, let's kill them all. And then in the birth of Jesus Christ, you see another spirit of Antichrist in Herod, right? Wise men come through. They say a baby's being born. That's going to be the deliverer, the king of the Jews. And what does Herod do? Let's kill all the babies up to age 2. You know what he's saying? Hey, let's take it out. And I do, it's not my notes, but let's pause right here. Hey, our wives, our mothers of our children, our homes, our job places need men who are realizing that God has put in you the ability to guide and lead your family into a strong faith walk that will protect your children, that will secure your home, that will protect future generations. I was on the phone with a client on Friday night, and they were talking about, you know, they have a knowledge of Christ, but they've never given their heart to Christ, right? So they have a knowledge of the Bible. They cuss every other word, and they sit there, and he said this. He said, you know, in 20 years, I'll be dead. He said, but in 20 years, you're going to have to decide if you want the mark of the beast. And I told him very quickly, I don't have to wait 20 years to make that decision. I've already made that decision that we're not going to do that. And I said, and I'll be honest with you. He said, well, your generation's going to go. And how many of you have heard this? You're going to go through the hard things and you're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, if you're a parent, what do you start thinking about? Your kids. And I've got three. And the world's going to get worse and worse. That's Bible. And the world's going to hate God more and more. That's Bible. They're going to attack the things of God. And in truth, at some point in time, they will attack those that stand for the word of God. And by the way, it's already happening. We're just not as exposed to it in America as other parts of the world already are. People being killed for going to church today in China. People being destroyed for the things that they're doing. Babies being slaughtered. All these things are happening in our world today. We're just blind to it because we live in the United States. Understand this. One day it's going to knock on your door too. And I sit there and I told him, I said, you know, my fear says, let's not have kids. We already got them. I can't take that back, right? So hey, and my fear says, why did we have kids? And why should we have more? And all these things. But reality is we should believe that as we stand for God in our home, then we're raising other people that'll stand for God in their generation too. And just because the generations are going to get harder doesn't mean that believers don't need to stand firm. And at some point, we got to realize that the godliness we're putting in front of our home will be one day the godliness that our children put in front of theirs. And if we get scared and we say, well, it's getting worse, we need to get quiet, then evil will run rampant while godliness is standing still. And so understand that the Bible's saying, you got to watch for those that are saying there's other ways. I wrote down a list of five things. Ready? Write it down. It is easy to recognize the spirit of Antichrist. Number one, all right, it doesn't go with God's word. It'll go against it. Here's the problem. Most people know more about what people have to say about God's word than they know actually what God's word actually says. And so the problem becomes, we hear somebody like me stand in front of you and say, this is the word of God. And without testing it, we fall for it. We believe it. And then we build a belief system on it. And we start thinking that this is in the Bible and I'm going to build on it. And it's not. I mean, notice when Satan showed up to Eve, he didn't try to discredit everything God said. He just created doubt. And that doubt became a belief system for her. And because she believed it, she acted on it. She ate the fruit. Remember, thoughts, feelings, actions. Right? Now understand this, and I want you to get it. In our world, we live in a religious culture that tries to use other ways to get to God. I wrote down these things. Number one, through, you know, confirmation of the church. There's certain things. Hey, listen, if you've been told that you got to join or you got to go through these classes and all this to be saved, hey, that's the spirit of Antichrist because Jesus is the gate. Say it with me. He is the gate. Say it. The only gate. The only way. Hey, there's no other interpretation of this scripture other than if you come any other way, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a robber. All right? Don't be deceived. Number two, hey, what about baptism? I've heard people say, you know, hey, you got to be baptized to be saved. No. Your salvation is not based, number three, on your works. There's nothing you can do to earn it. The best you can do is still not good enough. The Bible says our righteousness, the best, the living right, the best way we can live is still filthy rags compared to God's standard of holiness. But God gave a gift through Jesus Christ. Hey, number four, through tradition or ritual. I'm going to say this and I want you to hear it. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you are the church. All right, does that make sense? Hey, just because you are raised in a Christian family, it doesn't make you a Christian. You don't inherit faith. By the way, if you don't believe that, you when you get scared, go stand by somebody that's very strong in their faith. You're still going to be scared. They may have more faith, but you don't inherit that. You know, just because somebody's wise doesn't make you wise. Just because somebody has something to give doesn't mean you're gonna get it. The only way that you have this is through Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, Paul wrote it this way, there's a lot of things that you do that are just vain repetition and ritual that make you feel like you're doing something because it requires commitment, but it really, in truth, has no value to it at all. It's a paraphrase of Romans, but understand this. And look, number five is, if anybody tells you to follow them, like a Jim Jones, how many of y'all heard that name? You know who I'm talking about? I don't want to go into detail. The guy that made him drink the Kool-Aid, right? Had Jonestown and all these things, and they went. And a lot of people want to say David Koresh. They use Christianity after these guys. No, anybody declaring themselves to be the Messiah, anybody declaring themselves to be holy and God and all this other stuff is false. By the way, I'm going to plug this in here. That's why you have to have a huge problem with the Pope. All right, you gotta have a big, big problem. Last time I said that, we lost like 10 people from church because of their upbringing. I'm not trying to tell you that because I wanna go against your belief system in what you were taught by your parents. I wanna tell you that because I wanna go into the belief system that's gonna cost you your eternity if you don't get it right. Your church can't save you, water can't save you, your works can't save you, a ritual can't save you, no pope can save you, only Jesus Christ can save you today. And guess what? He wants to. That's the beauty of it. He wants to open his gates and bring you in. All right, look at this. In 1 John chapter number 4, I'm going to read 6 verses here. It says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. I've had so many people come up to me and say things in the name of God that I knew weren't God. You know, I'll give you an example. One guy came up to me and said, I can tell the life you live in by the clothes you're wearing. God showed this to me on a hike. He said, you're wearing this color, which means you're living in sin. I'm like, I'm wearing this color because it makes me look skinny. You know, like, I'm wearing this color because I'm very materialistic. At my nature, I'm materialistic. If I'm not careful, I really like the new Hummers, but they're $200,000. And in my mind, I'm like, that's still a nice car. How dumb is that? Right? If I ever drive up in the new Hummer, slap me. Does that make sense? That's a lot of stuff could go for the kingdom out of that. But my flesh, I'm just gonna be real with you, says, I would look good in that. It would feel good to drive that. Ooh, would love to have the crab walk where I could go over rocks. I never drive off the pavement, never. All right, I'm not an outdoorsman. But yet I think I need something that I don't need. Maybe for once in my life I could parallel park if my car would drive sideways, I don't know. But the thing is my flesh gets in the way. How many of you can have your flesh get in the way too? Corrupting the desires of your life. All right, understand this. We have to know that some people that speak by the Spirit are speaking by their own emotions, their own opinions, but they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. A voice is talking, but whose spirit is it? Now, would you agree with me? There's good, there's evil. Good and evil. If it's not coming from God, it's coming from the enemy. And if you're caught in the middle, Jesus even said, God wrote in Revelations, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm, because of lukewarm, what will I do? I'll spew you out of my mouth. All right, understand this. Just because you heard it on a podcast, just because you read it in a book, just because you saw, doesn't mean you should believe it. Now, does God give inspiration to people? Yes or no? Yes, that's how you got the whole word of God. All right, but understand this. When God gives inspiration to people, it always matches the inspiration that he gave to other people that wrote the word. All right, matter of fact, we're talking about a prophecy. Number one, it'll be totally biblical. Number two, it'll happen exactly like it's prophesied. There'll be no changes, no differences. It will come like it was said to come. God does not oppose himself. And the Bible says this, test the Spirit. You must test the Spirit to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world today. I you know how many people I've heard say, well, somebody prophesied this over me when I was young. And I think, okay, immediately my mind goes to prayer. God, I pray that whoever did that was actually talking for you and not for themselves. Because you know what? If I were to bring Whitney up here to talk about our children's needs, right? From the needs she sees in the ministry she works, she could from her feelings say, all of you are called to children's ministry, right? Like, I know God's called you because there's a need there. And sometimes the need is so great that we, even Jesus said, you know, the laborers are very few, right, in certain areas. And so he prayed that God would send us more laborers, pray that people would come in, pray that this would happen. And understand this, as we're looking around and we're seeing things happen in our world, it would be easy for me to walk up to you and say, this is an area of the church that needs somebody, so I believe God's calling you. And just because that was said does not mean it's true. How many of you have ever stepped into a calling that was not of God in your life? In other words, a ministry of some type of goodness that literally ripped the life out of you. You ever had it? All right, listen. By the way, be careful before you commit. Write this down. Freebie. Throw it in there. Before you commit to something, commit it to prayer. All right, God, and by the way, when you're praying, don't pray on your time, pray on God's time. Don't pray and, God, let me feel this. God will speak to you. God will show you clearly. How many of you have been praying about something and God answers, you don't like the answer, so you try to ignore it, but he keeps confirming it in other ways? Anybody ever, you've had that happen? I'd almost give you the microphone and say, come tell it. I mean, how many of you have experienced that? Slip a hand up in the air. Yeah, and it's almost like you're running from it. It's like, I don't want to hear it. Like, that can't be God. And yet you still go to prayer and say, God, show me exactly what you need me to do. And then you get in your devotions and he shows you. And then you turn on your radio and he shows you. And then your friend that you haven't talked to in 10 years calls you and he shows you. And then you go back to your prayer closet and say, God, really, please show me. You know what you're asking for? God, do it my way. Hey, chapter number 9 shows us that God does things in extraordinary ways, right? Matthew starts with God doing things in extraordinary ways. An angel appearing to a virgin, an angel appearing to an unmarried couple and saying, you're going to birth the Son of God. He doesn't do things in a regular manner. Commit it to prayer and then commit to seeking. Don't just sit on your tail. Commit to, hey, I'm going to go. There's nothing wrong with volunteering. Saying, well, let me try this once. Let me try this a couple times. Because once you commit, you've created a need. You've made a statement. I see a lot of Christians that'll commit to things and back out. You know what they do? They leave a huge black hole in ministry. And what happens is people suffer as a result of it. You following this today? You got to be careful because not every calling is of God. There's a way that seems right to men, but the end of it, anybody know the end? It's destruction, it's death, it doesn't work. I mean, I think all of us, and by the way, sometimes I think we discredit the emotions and the feelings of our younger generation. How many of you felt like you fell madly in love and were gonna marry somebody at the age of 13? Raise your hand. How many of you had the young boy? You might not remember it now, but how many of you had the person that you thought about all the time and you thought, this is the one? I'm gonna raise my hand. Come on, get him up there. How many of you found out very quickly you were wrong? Yes. Yes. I mean, so many times we think this is right. This is right. But God says, hey, follow me. I'll lead you to what's right. And so it goes on and keep reading these verses with me up on the screen. They've got them. Verse number 2. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if somebody claims to be a prophet and doesn't acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world. Here it is. And indeed is already here. All right, keep reading. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's point of view. And the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. I want you to understand this. And I know that this is something that we really don't like to hear, but you have got to get ready, church, and you've got to get knowledgeable because the false teachings of the world are going to get louder and louder as we move through life. And if you don't know the truth of God, you may fall for a trick. I mean, How many of you remember the old videos about not the Left Behind series, but before that, where they did the end times and everybody was walking around with 666 on their forehead, 666 on their hands. Y'all know those old movies? I don't even know if you can find them anymore, but talking about this mark of the beast and this is what it's going to look like. Well, we've evolved to knowing that it's not going to be a stamp on a head or a forehead. Matter of fact, the more you look at it and the more you talk about it, there's suspicion that it could be like a chip or something implanted in you and all these other things that carry your bank accounts and do this, which by the way, they're already doing in Germany. They're already doing in other parts of the world. They've already beta tested it and it works. Amazon now has stores that all you got to do is have your phone in your pocket. And when you walk out, it checks out. Did y'all know that? That's in New York. All right. So there's no cashier. There's no register. You just have to have your phone signed into your Amazon account, put it in there. You take your phone, you scan all your products. When you walk out, your Amazon is linked to your bank account. And as you leave, it prints a receipt and it checks out everything you bought. And we sit there and we say, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. We got to stop being the generation of saying, not me. And we got to start being the generation of saying, God, I'm here, I'm aware, I'm ready. Because if you're not careful, you can fall for a trick. Now, by the way, let me clarify before some of you go out there and say Amazon's the mark of the beast. That's not what I said. I'm just saying the technologies are in place. I mean, the movements are there. So all the way back to Pharaoh, they've been trying to plan how to hinder Jesus. And they haven't stopped now. The enemy wants to deceive. So we got to understand, we got to know the truth about Jesus Christ. You got to know the word. Verse number 10 is probably the most famous verse in this passage. Would you agree with me in John 10? Let's go look at it real quick. John 10, verse number 10. It says this. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? That's what they're here to do. He said, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. King James uses an abundant life, right? Rich and satisfying, I want to clarify because I think some people think that unless they're rich and satisfied, they're not being the life that Christ has bought for them. An abundant life does not mean that you have everything that you want. The abundant life does not mean that you have all the possessions of the world. I mean, there are people that live without money that still have more peace, more love, more joy in their hearts than people that have all the money in the world. All right? And I want you to understand this, that Jesus said, hey, I've got some benefits for you living in this abundant life. I want to give you something real quick, and I want you to write two phrases down, everlasting life and abundant life. We're going to do a comparison real quick. All right? And Jesus said, I'm the gate. And then he said, hey, here's the life. All right? And we look at that and check it out. Let's read a few verses here. It says in verse number 6, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. He said, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep, and all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. All right, they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. What a promise. All right, he's saying, hey, I'll save you and you'll come and you'll go. Now, he's not saying you're gonna walk in and out of your salvation. What he's saying is you're gonna be in fellowship with God. You're gonna be able to go out into the world. You're gonna be able to go to church. And wherever you are, you're gonna find God in everything, good pastures. You're gonna see that his plan is good. You're gonna see that he loves you. You're gonna see that he cares for you. And he's going out and he's saying, hey, if you're saved, if you came in, then this is what you're going to find. But verse number 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose to give rich and satisfying life. Look at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock, and the hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and he doesn't really care for the sheep. You know, hey, by the way, be careful who you're following in life. You know, I let's be real. Has God given great talent to his people? Yes. Has God given great abilities to his people? Yes, but don't follow the person. Follow the shepherd of the person. All right, are you with me? I think it's easy to love our pastors more than we love God. It's easy to love the evangelists more than we love God. It takes a focused life to say, God above all. God above my wife, God above my children, God above my church, God above my small group, God above all. All right? And maybe you just need to write those words on your notes and that's all you need. Put God above all. If God is not above all, then you have another God. That's called an idol. It needs to come down. But look at this. I think a lot of times in church, we hear the word abundant life and we think everlasting life. Everlasting life is living forever, right? That everlasting life equals living forever. God gave you heaven. God gave you an eternity. God gave you a promise through Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for everlasting life? Yes. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? That he sent his son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. But an abundant life is this. So everlasting life says to live forever with God. Abundant life means to experience God as long as I live. Now, there's a difference. One defers and says, I will live with him forever. But Jesus said an abundance of life means that you realize that he is now living with you forever. That heaven is not a deferred promise. It is not that God said, I want you to come to heaven. God came here to bring heaven to us. An abundant life says we live in it. So I want you to understand, you got the gate, but then you got the fence. Can I get five people to volunteer? I wanna give a little illustration. All right, come on. Just don't wait on me, come on up. Come on up, come on up, come quickly though. All right, come on up. Yeah, come on. Okay, that's more than five, but let's go. All right, let's get this out of the way. You're gonna stand in the middle. All right. Come on, Robbie. You can be the messed up one. All right, here we go, ready? I want you to form, let's put three right here. You stand right here. Actually, Robbie, come on, that's great. I need one more. Alan, you were coming, come on. Here we go, ready? I want you to stand right here, like that. There you go, put your shoulder on hers. All right, there you go. Can we consider this the fence? Y'all with me? All right, oh, what in the world? It should be illegal to look like that. Anybody agree? He served in our military and we're thankful for him. All right, you're gonna be the edge. We should have made you the gate. All right, let's make you the gate. All right, here we go. I need Michaela, come here. You're buff too, but let's be real. Come on, all right, come here. I want you to stand here. He says, I'm the way in. Nobody gets in. I want you to understand an abundant life means there's benefits to going through the gate. There's benefits to it. I want you to write this down. God didn't just send Jesus to be your provider, to provide salvation, although he does that, to provide things for your life. He also sent you, Nick, can I borrow you for a second? Come on, buddy. All right, you can figure out your arm. Oh yeah, you're quick at that. Here's what Jesus said. Anybody that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you thankful for that? All right, so if Nick comes to Jesus, then the Bible says that Jesus opens the gate and lets him in. Now, would you be real with me that outside this gate, there's a lot of confusion. I mean, outside this fence, there's a lot of chaos. There's danger here. The Bible uses the illustration of a wolf coming. And it says that your shepherd would give his life for the sheep. In other words, the wolf isn't smart enough to figure out how to get in through here. So he's got to try to figure out how to go through. And you can't get through Jesus. Y'all remember Iris Wright from the Jamaica? How many of you remember that story? I love that old lady as I was on a mission trip, going up a hill, going into a dangerous part. I'll never forget. I asked her this question. Over 80, I said, are you not scared living here? Because people get killed there all the time. And she made a statement. She said, no, she said, when the gunmen come, and they do, I tell them that if they're gonna shoot me, they have to shoot Jesus first. And she said, and they leave. And I'm like, that's some faith. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never been faced with that situation. And she means it, you know? And so here's the truth. When you're in the fence, when you're abiding in God, abiding means that I am making Christ my everything, that I realize my value is in who he is, that I realize my worth is in what he did. And I realize my hope is in the fact that he can raise from the dead. He can conquer hell. He has the keys to death. He knows these things. Everything I am is wrapped up in who he is. And I am ugly, but he's beautiful. That kind of applies right now, right? I'm out of shape, but he's solid. I get messed up, but he stands firm. And I look at that and I realize that not only is he the provider of my feelings, the provider of my hopes, the provider of my peace, but he's my protector. And he says, hey, the wolf's out here and he only comes to seek, to steal, kill, destroy. But I came so that you can have abundant life. So can I say this though? When we're living the life that God has told us to live, when we're listening to God's voice, write this down real quick. How do you listen to God's voice? A daily walk in his word. All right? A daily walk in his word. Number two, seeking an understanding of the word. Don't just read it, try to understand it. You know, we gave him those four questions. Write them down quick because I'm not going to preach a sermon again. Ready? Number one, when you read the Bible, look at it. Observation, what does it say? Just read it. Number two, interpretation, what does it mean? Correlation. Number three, what other parts of the Bible back this up? The best commentary to the word is the word. Because God confirms himself. He doesn't contradict himself. Number four, how do I apply it to my life? Application. If I'm not reading the Bible and trying to find those things, then a lot of times I'm just reading a story, putting it back on the shelf, thinking I checked in, now I'm checking out. I don't know about you, but the word of God has shown up really powerful in times of my life that I didn't expect it to be there. You ever been brokenhearted and all of a sudden a verse that you had read starts coming into remembrance? How many of you have ever experienced the time that you didn't know what to do and all of a sudden somebody sent a scripture? No, you're reading it. Hey, I love it when I get these texts. I don't know why I'm supposed to send this to you. Because you're heavy on my heart and God told me to give you this verse. How many of you have ever got that text? Now, don't blow me up with that text trying to act godly. Only do it if God's sending it to you. Because if you try to do it under your own power, you'll rob the power of God and what he's trying to do in others' lives. And they get that and I open it up and it's like, and have you ever asked somebody, how did you know? They didn't. Don't even give them a chance to be prideful. Don't even ask them that. Don't look at them and say, how did you know I need that? And just start saying, God knew exactly what I needed. Thank you for being obedient. Start affirming their relationship with God, not affirming what they did. Does that make sense? All right, like I'm gonna point them back to Jesus. Thank you, because God used you. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit's really working in your life. God gives protection. All right, now I want you to understand this too. Not only does God give you protection, anybody else ever accepted Jesus Christ in this place today? Slip a hand up in the air. How many of you say, I am saved, I'm a child of God? Okay, Bree, your hand went up first, come on. All right, come here. All right, you can leave your shoes off. You don't have to bring them. All right, here we go. All right, the good thing about God is not only do I get protection, welcome her into your family too. Now I get relationship, fellowship with God and with other people. And in a protected relationship. You know what a protected relationship is? One where the people that are in it are not in it for themselves. That's protected. We can use people very quickly. We can be used by people very quickly. But a protected relationship is two people seeking God and trying to seek God in each other. And where God is not found in the other person, they try to disciple God in. They try to usher him in. And I'll be honest with you, how many of you can realize that, is anybody else, you get around believers and all of a sudden certain things start to affect your life. Your mind gets a little bit clearer. You ever sat in a small group? Have you ever sat in church? All of a sudden somebody says something and it's like, whoa, I never thought of that before, right? Or have you ever gone and found exactly what it was that you were looking for? That's the Holy Spirit, not your church. Just thank God your church seeks the Holy Spirit. You know what that is? That's fellowship, that's relationship. And you got that safety. And when you got a protected relationship, guess what else is in here? There's joy. An abundant life is a life full of joy. Joy isn't the absence of problems, by the way. Joy is a focused mindset, even in the face of adversity. To say that life is still good because God is good and things can work out better, that all things work together for those that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? All right, so do you love God today? Say amen. Amen. Hey, are you walking in your calling? I'm not gonna ask you to say amen to that. I'm gonna say, find out if you are. And if you are, then know it's gonna work out. Know that, I'll be honest with you, over here is where I'm trying to figure it out. It's when I get outside of the gate, when I get outside of who God is, when my relationship isn't where I need to be, is when I try to figure my life out. It's when I try to put my life together. It's when I try to stand on my own. And I'll tell you this right now, God wants us to understand that he has already got someone that's wanting to lead you. He said this, my sheep recognize my voice. They know it and they listen, they follow me. Why do they follow? Because they know he's a leader. You get guidance. Write that in your notes today. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in the details of their lives. In other words, God's saying this, I want to lead you. Most times in my life, when I am freaking out is when I'm trying to lead by myself instead of being led. All right, understand this. As a sheep, you get value. As a sheep, you get relationship. As a sheep, you get joy, you get peace. But you also get that guidance that you need. All right, here, let's break it down. Thank you, you can be seated. Y'all got this, you understand? Outside, very dangerous, give him a hand. Inside, man, there's all kinds of things. Go to Psalm 23 real quick, I'm almost done. All of you are overdosed on turkey right now. So I'm trying to break it down simply and get you through. Psalm 23, nine things. Nine things that create an abundant life. I think you can find all nine of them here. I'm gonna go fast. If you miss them, I'll give you my notes. Deal? Don't try to write them all down. Just listen. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. It's verse one. They don't have it on the screen, do they? Oh, my screen went off back there. All right, here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Number one, he supplies my needs. Number two, the Bible says he lets me rest in green meadows. He gives me rest. And I'm going to tell you this right now. The rest of God is different from the rest you're thinking. It's not that God's going to give you a nap. It's that God's going to give you peace. All right. God's going to give you an ability to know that he's in control. All right. To those with cancer, God's in control. To those here that are orphans, God's in control of your life. To those here that are going through divorce, to those here facing bankruptcy, God is in control. You say, well, my life feels like it's out of control. Don't start making decisions. Start leaning into God. Start trusting him and being obedient and know that God's going to work this out. Number three, he leads me. Isn't that what he says? It says he leads me beside the peaceful streams. In verse number three, it says he renews my strength. I love this. He renews it. He doesn't give you strength. He just keeps renewing that strength. If it's a one-time gift, it's going to run out. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. It's a continual flow. It's as if you're going into the hospital dehydrated and they put an IV in you and they keep fluids pumping through your body. That's what the Holy Spirit is in your life. God put himself in you so that he could flow through you and he could give you exactly what you need. In the world, you're going to get sick. In the world, you're going to get tired. But you've got a blood transfusion that's always flowing. And God's saying, hey, not only am I going to be with you, but you're going to be strong enough to get through this with me. You will make it. You will get there. It might not be the way you planned. It might not be how you planned. It might not be like you prayed. It might not be what you saw, but God is going to do a powerful work in your life. I don't care how old, how young you are. I don't care if you just got saved. I don't care if you get saved in 5 minutes. God is going to do a powerful work in your life. He renews my strength. Look at number five. I wrote this one in verse number four. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. This is the, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. So number five, he protects me in dark valleys. Number six, he gives me ministry and purpose. Verse number five, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. That's a ministry. All right, understand this. We've said it before. God doesn't give you a feast in front of your enemies to just make them feel bad. God puts it in front of them so that you can introduce them to the grace and the goodness of God. And by the way, if you're blessed right now, invite somebody else to the blessing. And that's why I'm so thankful for y'all taking these children off the tree. I'm thankful for y'all providing Thanksgiving. I think we spent like $7,000 around there in the over Thanksgiving between feeding and a meal here, boxes that we're providing, other things and gift cards that we gave out. You say, that's a lot of money to give away. It's too much money to keep. Does that make sense? Hey, if we keep it, it becomes everything we have. If we give it, we're giving it into a well that never runs dry. Right? If it's the last bit of ointment you got and the prophet standing at the door and God saying, feed the man of God, feed the person of God, feed the least and go to this, you better pour it out and God will take your vessel and he'll make it a reproduction vessel. You're not made to dry up. If you think you're going to go broke serving God and obeying God, that is a lie. If you trust him and you obey him and you do it, he will spring up and he will renew and he will provide again and again and again. There will be food on your table, but not just for you. Does that make sense? All right, number seven. He says, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. I wrote in my notes, he anoints my head. This isn't that God's put his calling on your life as much as if you study sheep, this is where God is putting an anointing on your life to keep the pesky things in your life away. If you know anything about being a shepherd, Lead Like a Shepherd's a great series on Right Now Media. If you're in leadership or you're pursuing it, Lead Like a Shepherd, they've got a book that goes with it. Write that down, check it out. If you don't have Right Now Media, we provide it free. Go get it. But in there, they talk about how when a sheep is being nurtured, bathed, that they'll bring the sheep into this trough and almost, to the sheep, it feels like it's being drowned. Because they'll take the sheep and they'll dunk it and they'll keep dunking it. But the point of this, for those of you that are leaders, for those of you that are walking in the calling God's put on your life, business owners, different things, he said, sometimes when you're leading like a shepherd, the sheep aren't going to understand why you're doing what you're doing. You know, hey, and listen, your confidence has to be in God, not in what they think about what you're doing. It's a great, great verse, a great, great truth. And so what they do is they anoint it because sheep will get bugs in their eyes. They don't have these long tails. They don't have these things, and they'll get pesty things in their wool. And so they anoint it, and you know what it does? It keeps the pest away. Thank God today that he's dunking you and he's anointing you and he's putting the power around. Because I'll be honest with you, when the devil shows up and he sees you, he's happy. When the devil shows up and he sees God in you, he's scared. The Bible says even the demons know him and they tremble. I'll be honest with you, I've never made a demon scared, but Jesus in me, we can run them out. Are you with me? Hey, I don't have the power to conquer hell. Hell had power over me until the cross. And Jesus canceled the record of wrongs held against me. He stripped the devil of all his power. He stripped him down to nothing. He publicly humiliated him and he set us free. Today, understand this. You and I have no power. That's why we need the anointing of God. That's why you need your daily walk. That's why you need your daily talk. That's why you need a small group. That's why you need a healthy attendance. That's why you need those things, because those are the things that are life-giving. I'll tell you this right now. I need God's anointing on my life every single day because the world is full of pesty things. Sometimes if you're not careful, I can become the pesty thing. Anybody else? Well, you might not answer that, but your husband might. All right, here we go. Your wife might. I always pick on the man, so I thought I'd throw them one. All right, ready? Look at this in verse number 6. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. I put this, God's in pursuit of you with blessing and love. Blessing and love. Some of you are like, well, if I walk through the places, have you heard this? If I walk through the doors of that church, it'll burn down around me. No, blessings will fall on you. Love will fall on you. You say, well, not the church I go to. Go to God, not to a church. All right? And by the way, you say, no, I don't have to go to church. That's not what I'm saying. Go to a church that has God in front of it and not themselves. And I promise you, if people are seeking God, they will love you. Right? How many of you love to love people? Slip your hand up in the air. You know, I had somebody tell me when we were praying about what God wanted us to do and as we were getting close to stepping back into ministry, somebody told me, stop telling everybody you love them. You know, and they meant out of protection because people take it the wrong way. And so it's like, okay, you know what? They're right. I don't need to tell them I love them. I just need to remind them that God loves them. And because God chose to love them, I'm gonna love them through him. Because my love for you can be very conditional. You say, you're supposed to be godly. So are you. But how many times do we get conditional? How many times do we demand apology and demand all these things? Hey, in the fold, there's forgiveness. Outside of it, there's resentment. In the fold, there's comfort. Outside of it, there is hurt. And God is saying, hey, I'm gonna pursue you. And then number 9, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. He gives me a forever home, a forever relationship with him. Verse number 12 of chapter number 10 tells us that he's willing to run into danger as danger approaches. Hey, he said, I'll give my life. Verse number 15 through 17 says he's willing to die for us. Hey, I want you to understand this, and we're gonna close with it. You do have an enemy. Remember this? He wants to steal, kill, destroy. Steal hopes and dreams, kill your potential. He wants to destroy your life, your relationships. He wants to destroy your faith. Right? That's the whole intention of the enemy showing up in your life. And for those of you that think that it's not a big thing, it doesn't affect anybody else, that's the only reason Satan's there. Satan's not there to give you a little habit that doesn't affect anybody. Satan's there to give you a little temptation that'll destroy you. All right? Understand this. He will plant it in your life so that it will ruin it. All right, can we get in our minds, please write this in your notes. There's no such thing as a small or harmless sin. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a harmless thought. The Bible says we gotta fix our minds. Paul wrote it in Philippians 4 on things that are good, right? Fix your thoughts on things that are excellent, worthy of praise. So the thing, you got to take that and make that exactly who you are. I'm going to close with this. Look at verse number 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate and the sheep, I got this underlined in my Bible, recognizes his voice. And when they recognize it, what do? They come to him. If God were calling you right now, would you know it was him enough to go do what he's asked you to do? Are you in a faith walk that will help you? Do you have people in the fold with you that you can ask? The world can be a confusing place, and that's why God will put godly people around you. Do you have a walk that will be in a place that when all these voices are going on in your head, when you're hearing voices, that you can tune in to the voice of God? God gave you the Holy Spirit to dial you in to what's coming from the throne of heaven. Are you following me today? All right, look at verse number 4 and 5. He said, after he has gathered his flock, he walks ahead of him and they follow him because, here it is, I got this underlined, they know his voice. And then in verse 27, it says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I sitting at home this week because we didn't get to travel, so I didn't tell anybody I was in town. Just very few people knew I was in town, because if I had planned to be out of town with my family, I was going to be in town with my family. Does that make sense? Had to be intentional. Didn't show anything, didn't go anywhere, ignored lead calls, everything, try to stay at home. A million times I got asked the question by my daughter, will you play with me? All right? And a million times I was able to answer yes. I took 4 naps in the past 3 days, all right? I mean, that was great. I don't normally get time to do that. We got to sit down, we watched movies. We actually got Christmas decorations up, and I finally got to take the fall things into storage like my wife had been asking me to do for who cares how long, but it's been a while, right? And we were able to get things done. One thing I noticed is a lot of different development. Like, Lincoln's got development. When you're home, you get to see the things that you don't get to see when you're always busy, which, let that be a lesson for you. When you stop and you soak in life, you get to experience the things that you miss when you're busy. And we've said this, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy, right? And we're missing things. So what I notice is, man, Lincoln's tall. I mean, has anybody seen him lately? That dude comes up to here. He turns 9 in a week and he's tall. He loves when I tickle him. He doesn't like when anybody else does, like he in our family. Jordan will tickle him, he won't laugh. That's just not his thing. Now, he'll give her kisses and loves and all this other stuff, and I can't get that out of him. He has more of the man relationship, I guess, with me. And I'm like, Lincoln, give me a hug. And he's like, I want my mommy. You know, like, it's like, but at night, he'll go jump in his bed and he'll look at me and he'll say, tickle, and we'll tickle and we'll laugh and we'll have a good time. Kanan, I mean, she's 3 going on 40, and, you know, she's got this expanding vocabulary, and she was like, Dad, I kept asking you to play with me, but you were on the phone for 4 hours. Like, it was 5 minutes. Let's not be dramatic. But the truth is, you know, and she told Mom, she was like, you're always cooking and I want to play. Like, she's telling us like it is. This girl's got it going on. And it's just neat to see her imagination as it's bloomed and it's blossomed. Grayson's got to where, you know, he's 9 months old now, will wave at us and do different things. He's pulling up on things. He's an explorer. He's into everything and he wants to know how it works. I mean, Grayson's got that all boy in him. But one thing I've noticed and it's really cool to watch is our kids, they can recognize our tones, right? If Jordan and I are in there and we're having a serious conversation about something somebody's going through, Kanan will come in with a very concerned approach. You know, like, it's okay. You want to play this? And she'll spend time trying to cheer us up. Even though nothing's wrong, she can tell the tone. Does that make sense? They also can recognize when we're like, Grayson. It's a whole lot different than Grayson. And Grayson's learned. Grayson, he stops. You know what? I was sitting here thinking about this verse, it's like God gave me a real life illustration of this, and you've seen it too. My kids recognize my voice. They know which tone means let's play. They know which statement means, hey, that's not good. They recognize it. And you know what's so fulfilling as a parent? Very rare, but fulfilling, is when not only they recognize it, they actually respond appropriately. That if you're saying don't, they what? Don't. And guess what? You're like, thank God. Because I'll be honest with you, we don't tell our kids no to things that are good for them. Like we don't sit there and say, oh, you're playing with a car. That looks fun. Stop it. You know, we're like, you're playing with a car. Let me play with you. You know, you're playing with your brother. I can't tell you how many times. And if you go through my phone right now, it's all these cheesy pictures of my kids, you know, like putting up Christmas things and playing together and doing all these things. Because as a parent, I'm engaged by what's going on in their lives. And my no is a protective no. My stop and my don't is I want to keep you safe. You don't need to eat the rocks in the gas fireplace, Grayson. That's not candy. Kanan, you can only have so much chocolate in a day. She believes chocolate is all you should eat in the day. And it's like, you got to eat chicken. She's like, but you bought chocolate snowmen. I was like, yo, those were for me. You know, like they're not for you, but I'll give them to you because you're my kid. You know, and take a bite of chicken. You know, it took me 30 minutes last night to feed her chicken nuggets. Because every time she took a bite, do I get my snowman? It's like, no, take another bite. You got to eat all your chicken. You know, and then all of a sudden she'll come up and she'll be on a health kick. A three-year-old. I'm sitting there and I'm eating chocolate. Daddy, that's not healthy. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's all you ask for. But when I do it, I'm some kind of a bad person. But the truth is we navigate through this relationship and we love the communication aspect. And things happen. One of the statements my daughter's been using lately is she'll come up to me and she'll say, Daddy, are you gonna stay today? Are you gonna stay with me? Last night when I put her to bed, Daddy, are you gonna open my door in the morning? Because for the past four nights, I've been able to. The other days, I don't get to. My wife looked at me and she said, Kanan's going to be a mess when you go back to your regular schedule. And then my thought started thinking, maybe regular shouldn't be what regular used to be. And maybe we need to look at it and realize that my kids need to hear my voice. But the truth is I need to hear theirs too. And I don't know if you're a dad or a mom out there that maybe you need to hear that is the greatest relationship you have outside of your relationship with your father is the relationship he gave you with your family. And that needs to be intimate and it needs to happen. But as we see that intimacy, and I don't know about you, but does anybody else desire more time with their family? Yeah. Does anybody else desire to see your family grow and healthy? Does anybody else desire to see them happy? I love making my daughter happy. I love sneaking her chocolate when nobody's looking. I love doing those things. And I think to myself, as an imperfect father with that much love, how much more does my heavenly father love me? You can come up here, sweetie. Come on. You're checking it out. Oh, that was DJ. She's like, nope, I'm out. All right, so no, I'm just kidding. Here's the thing. When we start communicating and they start listening, then their lives start developing right. And I thought to myself, do I listen to God like that? You know, and some of you might be saying, I never hear the voice of God. How many of you have ever been in the middle of something and felt this isn't right? Something's off here. How many of you have ever heard, you need to do this? Or have you ever heard, don't do it? Like, don't. And we're not talking an audible voice that's echoing through the heavens, but in your soul, in your mind, your thoughts start saying, hey, I need to change this. This isn't good. You know what that is? That's your heavenly father. That's the shepherd speaking. And the sheep that are his should recognize that. Respond to that. Listen to it and follow what he says. And I promise you, he will not lead you to a broke down life. He will lead you to an abundant life. I hear voices, but the truth is his voice is the only voice I should obey. I hear all this chaos, but his is the only I should respond to. Listen, if you're living in sin, there's an antidote. Confess, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. If you're living in brokenness and hurt and fear, hey, give in. Follow God. Be obedient to what God's telling you to do. Step out. I brag at home a lot on our youth to my wife, and I don't want to single them out in front of you because then the others might think we don't do that for them too. But there's one kid in our youth group that I go home and I pray for often because their heart is very tender to others. And I went home about 4 or 5 weeks ago and I said, hey, this one, we need to pray because they're going to get their heart broke. The other day in youth, they were sitting there and they have a friend who's living wrong and they really wanted to know how they could speak something into their life that would help them be right and not give up on them because of what they were doing. And literally in front of our entire youth group, as they were asking their question, they started crying. And I thought to myself, and they're one of the younger ones, and I was like, that's not normal. You know, it's not normal, number one, to live in a world where somebody cares about somebody else's spiritualness enough that it breaks their heart even with the other person not present. And it's not normal for someone who's the younger to speak up in front of those that are older and have such a passion that you're willing to cry in front of them, not caring what anybody else has to say about you because your heart's so burdened for somebody. And I thought to myself, that's somebody that's hearing the voice of God, and it is our job as the people that God has put around him to protect the ability to hear God's voice. In other words, it's like this, we gotta come to the gate, we gotta come to the fence, we gotta have that fellowship, but the truth is we gotta teach each other to know God's voice and to respond to it, to know God's voice and to follow it. And some of you, we don't wanna see you go, but God's calling you out of this place. God's calling you to mission fields, God's calling you to other churches, God's calling you to other ministries, and you're scared that if you leave here that you're gonna hurt us. Stop living for us, we will fail you. Start living for God and know that we're still part of the same kingdom even thousands of miles apart. We need to raise a generation that while they're hearing all the voices of the world and all the things of the world, like this passage said, they know the world's view, they speak the world's view. We need to raise a generation that says, I'm gonna listen to God, build my life on God, follow God, trust God, and know that God will not fail me. I'll be honest with you. God's not gonna call you to what's convenient in your life. He'll use convenience in your life, but your calling isn't to comfortable. I mean, anybody else in the place today willing to admit that a lot of times in life you'd rather be comfortable than on the edge? All right, but the truth is God's calling you to be uncomfortable in a world that wants you to be comfortable because comfortable you become silent. I mean, it doesn't make sense to step away from a bank loan in the middle of a recession. Because if we look at it from a world's point of view, it might take us years to build that building. But if God has said, build it, then we just got to be obedient to God and know that when it's supposed to be there, it'll be there. Do you believe that? Say amen. Hey, listen, if that's the case for your church, it's the case for your life too. If God's called you to be in this world for such a time as this, then he has called you to be obedient to what he is asking you to do. And we need people that say, I will make the decisions that don't make sense if I know that it's God that's calling me to them. My logical decisions rarely work out. But when I trust God, it seems to work every single time. We need people that speak listening to the voice of God. People that are employed based on the word of God, based on his calling in their life. What good is it for you to have a job you're miserable in, making a lot of money, when God has a calling that would fulfill you, and not only fulfill you, it would raise up a lot of people instead? That's a good word. Now, that's not saying go quit, but that is saying start listening for the voice of God, and when God directs you, step. When God says go, go. When God says do it, do it. This morning, it was one of those days, and I started the service with this where I was not in a good mental place. I actually even said that to our praise team. And I found this to be true in my life, that when we get to there, we need to stop and reconsider what we're trying to do. And so we turn around, and I'll be honest with you, what I thought was gonna be a hard worship set, I had fun in, even though we messed up. Even though there was some mistakes in there. I haven't heard some of you sing that loud in a long time. And you say, it's because we were singing hymns. Okay, great. We sang your hymns. Next week, sing loud. All right, you say, I don't know it. Just hum. Just shout. If you don't know it, you're not speaking words. You're speaking to God. Just tell him. Make up your own words. Do your own thing. That's what she's doing. She's sitting on pee pads having a good time. Right? Hey, the thing is this. Hey, what if we had freedom? You know what I see? You know why this isn't bother me, by the way? Is I hope boldness continues through the life. You know, at Thanksgiving dinner, about 10 kids took the stage and beat on the drums. You know, and you know what we did? We let them. You know, I had somebody ask me, are you okay with my kid being up there? Absolutely. Well, I don't want them to mess anything up. What are you talking about? That? Oh, that's thing made out of wood. I mean, I can break this today and build a new one tomorrow. Maybe not me, I'll get weighed too. This is just a material possession. But what's happening in their hearts as they're sitting on top of it, beating the snot out of it? You know, I've heard Bastion sit up here and sing Jesus Loves Me very much offbeat, but just smiling and hitting away. And I think, what if they're the next praise and worship leader at Grace? What if they're the next person that's gonna go sing in an auditorium with 19,000 people, and in the middle of that auditorium, thousands of people are gonna give their heart to Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I wish I could have the boldness I used to have as a kid. To where I didn't care what you thought or what you, I'm just gonna play my drum. I'm just gonna play. I'm gonna be free and be excited and be alive. You know, when the Bible says that if you come to the Father, you gotta come like children. I mean, study that. I mean, they are carefree. There's not a worry in the world. Do your kids care about your bills today? No, they don't go to the fridge and think, if I eat this, there's nothing left to eat. They eat it trusting that the next time they open the fridge, you're gonna put food in it. And the truth is what if we did that with God? What if we realized that if we just stay obedient, then God will open doors? What if we just had boldness to be who we are and listen to what God is doing inside of us? Then maybe we wouldn't see evil leading our children. We wouldn't see evil wrecking our homes. We would see champions of faith rising to stand in the gaps and the hedges and rescue people as their lives are being attacked by the enemy. Maybe we would just see a revival break out, because the Bible tells us in the end times that will happen. If there's a spirit of Antichrist, there's always a spirit of the risen Christ. And I don't know which voice are you listening to, the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. You hear voices, I hear voices. Do you hear his? Number one, to hear his, you gotta know him. If you're not saved, you gotta get saved. How do you get saved today? Somebody tell me. Yeah, through Jesus. Put your faith in him. It's not about a knowledge thing. It's about a faith saying, I believe you and I take you at your word and I'll let you teach me the rest. Put your faith. Number two, you got to have a healthy walk with him. All right? They recognize, they know, and they listen. Do you recognize his voice? Do you know it? And are you doing something with it? Bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody look around. Is there anybody in the room today that you really, in your heart, you feel God calling you to do something? I don't know why I feel impelled to ask that question. Raise your hand. Okay, I see you. Anybody else? Okay, I see you. I see you. I see you. Keep it up. I see you. I see you. Anybody else? I really feel God calling me to do something. Okay. Okay. How many of you know what it is? Okay. 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 All right. Okay, take it down. How many of you are doing it? Okay, we went from like 25 hands to 2. God bless you. Let's pray for these, that they continue in their faith. Let's pray for the others. And hey, listen, right in a minute, I'm gonna have a prayer over you that you get bold in your faith. Not in your opinions and not in what you think, but what God's calling you to do, that you walk in it with a confidence that God will do something through it. Is there anybody here today? Maybe you don't know if you're saved. You don't know that you have that relationship with God. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand there. I'm just gonna ask you to say this. Do you understand who Jesus is? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that he gave his life for you? And that not only did he give his life for you, he wants to give life to you, that abundant life. He wants you to experience God the rest of your life, the power, the excitement, the joy, the peace that comes with him. And if you believe that he's the Son of God, that he died and he rose again, then right where you sit, you can give your heart to him today. I'm gonna invite you to take a moment and just declare Jesus the Lord of your life. You and I are sinners. There is no question about that. But he is the antidote. And if today you've not given your heart to Christ, I invite you where you sit just to ask him. I told somebody the other day, they said, how do I get saved? You tell God what you need. If you're not saved today, tell him you need a savior. You believe in his son and you are trusting him to be your salvation. And if you are not saved or are confused by it, then right here, right now, will you make that decision? While they're making that decision, how many of you know for sure you've given Christ your heart, you know you're a child of God? Would you slip a hand in the air and just represent, I know I'm saved. You don't have to look. But while that hand's in the air, can you just tell God thank you for what he's done in your life and thank you for the goodness and the rescue and the provision, the protection, the things that he gives you on a daily basis. Amen. If today's the day you're accepting Christ as your Savior, would you throw a hand in the air and say, I am giving my life to Christ. This is my salvation moment. This is my unashamed, amen, amen. Anybody else? This is my unashamed moment. We'll celebrate it with you. I'm giving my heart to Christ, amen. Amen. Stand with me, grab somebody's hand. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. All right, church, as you go from this place today, be determined to tune into God's voice. Be determined to use the word, to use the resources God has given you to know clearly what it is he's called you to do. Walk in that faith, and I promise you, God's gonna call you to risky, but he's not gonna call you to abandonment. He's not gonna leave you. You'll see incredible things happen in your life. Those that sow in tears will reap in what? Joy. Doubtless coming again, bringing their sheaves. That's a harvest with them. God's not going to abandon you right here. He's going to strengthen you. I hope today God's used this to speak to your hearts. Hey, please do be in prayer for those that are unable to make it today. If you're watching from home and you're sick, I know as I sat down at my desk this morning, I just kept getting text after text. One of our foreign exchange students is in surgery in Alabama right now. I know another family's got the flu. My family's been battling. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. Still a great crowd. We're glad you're here. But don't forget about those that are going through other things, all right? It's good to, I'm pretty sure you're with the Gideons, aren't you? All right, so good to see you. So good to have you here. And we're thankful for what y'all do. We really are. Y'all do an incredible ministry. And let's make that a matter of prayer. I mean, how many years in a row have you shown up here? How many years have you been coming to visit with us? Yeah, it's been 3 or 4, hasn't it? All right, and we're thankful for you. We really are. And let's make sure and get by. That's a great, great man and his wife. Go meet them and spend some time. Hey, listen, there's a lot going on. Don't get caught up in all the things that the season brings. Get caught up in the theme of the season. You and I have a gift to give, and that's Jesus Christ. Share his love with the world, all right? Before we leave, it's either you gave us a new car or you lost the keys to your new car, all right? So if you're driving a Jeep Wrangler 2023 and you don't claim it, it's white. If you don't claim it in 30 seconds, we'll take it as a tithe and an offer. I'm just kidding. All right. It's Julie's. All right. Here we go. All right. You got it. We found the owner. Don't try to claim it anymore. All right. So, all right. We got your key there. Hey, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being so amazing. Let's go out praising God today. Let's pray together. God, thank you for all that you do and all that you've given us, all that you provide, the protection that you bring. I really, God, pray that this sinks into the heart and the life of somebody here today. God, I felt the challenge as we were preaching today, the fight. I know that there's some oppression in lives. I know that there's an enemy trying to destroy lives. I don't know the need and I don't know the exact circumstance, but God, I know that you were trying to get to a heart, to rescue a life and a mind today. And it's my prayer that this echoes, that your Holy Spirit keeps haunting with this message until a change happens, till freedom is found. We praise you for the two that accepted you this morning. Help us to walk beside them and watch them as they're discipled and grown. God, we're thankful for the two that say they're walking in their calling today. I pray that you would just continue to strengthen them. I know that that's what you're gonna do. It's not my prayer that you would do that as much as it's my prayer that they would recognize it and see it and experience it and just keep going. God, the other 20, 30, 40 people that raise their hand today that know that you're calling them to something, give a courage that is unexplainable. You say you have a peace that passes understanding. So God, my prayer is that their hearts would open up to a daily walk with you, that they would fall more in love with you than anything else in the world, that they would desire to know you and desire to hear you. And through that desire, God, strengthen that calling to where it is unavoidable in their lives. God, I pray today that you would give us a bold church that is alive and excited about who you are. Help us to have a passion and a compassion for a world that's lost and dying. as we go back to our schools and as we go to our workplaces, as we go into the shopping season, God, I pray that you would just help us to have a boldness to take your truth. And may we see people come to know you and come to grow in you outside these walls, in our workplaces and in those places that we come in contact with the world. Help us to have a courage to share Jesus, and may many lives be changed. We're thankful for the change you've brought into our lives. We give you praise for that. We celebrate you today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.